Letters.
On economics, America, the Chagos Islands, innovation in AI, the Turkic states, Abraham Lincoln, and flies.
Focus more on growth.
From Mark Henstridge, Chief Executive, Oxford Policy Management, Oxford. The work of Daron Acemoglu, Simon Johnson and James Robinson, the winners of the Nobel Prize in Economics, was indeed brilliant. Article Nations Fail, Academics Succeed, October 19th. But their work does not address the questions that were compelling to Robert Lucas, another Nobel winner, who asked whether there was some action a government could take that would lead an economy to grow. He suggested that the consequences for human welfare involved in questions like these are simply staggering. Once one starts to think about them, it is hard to think about anything else. However compelling, those are not researchable questions for publication. In the current literature, there is more micro-randomization than work on how to accelerate and sustain growth.
Voting reforms.
From Scott Meyer, Alexandria, Virginia. Regarding electoral reform in America, article Taking the Initiative, October 5th, consider that of the 10 congressional Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump. Two were from Washington State and one from California, states with top two open primaries. Alaska has open primaries and ranked choice voting, which allowed Senator Lisa Murkowski to vote to convict Mr. Trump without having to worry about an attack from the right in a closed primary. Perhaps if we had had more open primaries and RCV, other Republicans would have found the courage to hold Mr. Trump to account.
The Chagos Islands' future.
From Nigel Wenburn-Smith, Commissioner for the British Indian Ocean Territory, 1982-85, London. Regarding Britain's intention to hand sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, article Chagos Theory, October 12th, no deal will be done until negotiations are completed to establish a formal treaty. That will entail reaching a consensus between America, Britain, Mauritius and India. I find it difficult to believe that the Americans will find it harder to protect their strategic interests under such an arrangement than under the void that now looms when Britain's lease of the base on Diego Garcia to America expires in 2036. You put great emphasis on the resettlement rights of the Chagosians, but I'm afraid this largely ignores the realities of their sad history. As fully examined in Chagos, A History, a book that I co-wrote, the island's maximum population of 1,200 was reached in 1921. By 1962, after the transfer of the coconut plantation's ownership to an entrepreneur from the Seychelles, the proportion of Seychellois had increased sharply. But when the plantations were sold, many Chagosians followed the advice of departing Mauritian managers to leave with them. Those plantations are now totally overgrown and devoid of infrastructure in a world with little need for coconut products from remote sources with poor soil. Which brings us to rising sea levels. With the erosion of individual islands in the Chagos, soils are giving way to fresh sand from sea surges, and the fresh water essential to human and vegetable life is gradually becoming more saline. On Diego Garcia itself, America is reported to be spending many millions of dollars on protecting its base from inundation.
The next innovation in AI.
From Dr. Imad Riashi, founder of Honu, London. The linear thinking that more chip-making power equals more artificial intelligence won't work. Technology Quarterly, September 21st. Yes, advancements in AI have been remarkable and hardware advances got us here. But semiconductors won't solely unleash AI's full potential or produce another intelligence leap. The reality is that with each power surge, the returns diminish. Even if you supply 10 times more computational power, you, most probably, will be only 10% better off at this stage. So not only would this be a costly exercise in terms of expense and environment, there's also not a lot to gain from continuing to put faith in silicon alone. There is a strong case for looking at alternative architectures that provide reasoning for the next AI breakthrough. And there's more to be gained from looking at the software layer for the next leap in AI innovation than from a billion more chips in production. The avenues for software information are multiple, be they the next evolution of transformers, baking in neurosymbolic approaches, or even a rethinking of the AI stack itself. AI is a game-changing technology, but its widespread adoption won't come from doubling down on hardware innovation or large language models. The market must take a breather. We need alternative, smarter approaches to unleashing true and powerful artificial cognition. I wouldn't bet all my chips on the next AI innovation leap being in silicon alone.
A thriving region.
From Radu Dinescu, President, International Road Transport Union, Geneva. Thank you for shedding light on the Turkic states, mainly Turkey, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan, article Giant Steps, September 28th. It is an important bloc that receives little attention in the West. Trade is indeed booming along the Middle Corridor, which connects China with Europe, but not only because of geopolitics. In a largely landlocked region, all member countries of the Organization of Turkic States have long committed to harmonized digital trade and border crossing procedures, often based on global UN standards, such as the TIR, or International Road Transport Convention. Uzbekistan, one of just two double landlocked countries in the world, the other is Liechtenstein, issues more TIR carnets than any other, allowing trade to soar. The region is a world leader in this respect, driving easier and faster access to global markets for its businesses and thus prosperity for its citizens.
Was James Buchanan gay?
From John Dury, Port Townsend, Washington. Was Abraham Lincoln gay? October 5th, asks the latest documentary on the subject. Americans in the 19th century understood perfectly well that men could have sexual relationships with each other and had no hesitation in saying so. James Buchanan, the 15th President of the United States, was widely believed to have had a sexual relationship with William Rufus King, who briefly served as Vice President under Franklin Pierce. The two lived together in a boarding house in Washington and attended social functions together. Andrew Jackson referred to them as Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy. Others described King as Buchanan's better half and his wife. Such claims were never made against Lincoln by his contemporaries, despite being a frequent target of vicious political attacks. Our ancestors were no less observant than we are. Why would any of Lincoln's opponents have passed up such a cheap shot?
Time has wings.
From Richard Friary, Florence, Montana. Nowhere in your report on the brain of the fruit fly do you explain the saying, why does a fruit fly like a banana when time flies like an arrow? Article On the Fly, October 5th.